It's time to let loose, talk some Michigan, and play in the playground. The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. Here are your hosts, Jay-Z and Jeff. At the
playground. Welcome to WTKA's Playground this Sunday morning, November 20th, just past the 10 o'clock, just past the top of the hour. Jeffrey Childs here with you in studio. Jay-Z to my left, Tony O to my right, and gentlemen, Michigan survives 20-10 over Indiana, getting the win. They earn their 10th win of the season and notch back-to-back 10-win seasons for the first time since 02-03. But just like the wintry weather, it was not an easy task for Michigan. Of course, John O'Korn got the start in place of an injured Wilton Spate. And John O'Korn did not look very good, to put it mildly. Struggled in the passing game, was throwing behind his receivers, in front of his receivers, every which way but into their hands. And Michigan needed something else. They needed somebody else to pick up the slack because O'Korn was not getting it done. Looked very, very hurried, very inconsistent in the pocket. Didn't really look comfortable. And started the first quarter 2 of 4. He had a dump-off play to Ty Isaac for 21 yards. And you felt like, you know, he looked okay and he looked like he might be settling into the game, but Michigan still had their issues moving the football. Ty Isaac, the 21-yard catch, Michigan got going a little bit. Then they ended up punting off their first drive. And you kind of started to worry a little bit, and we want to know what you think about the Michigan offense, the way they started the game, the way the first half went. But you can give us a call here in studio, 734-998-1050. You could tweet us at Jay-Z Radio, at Jeff Childs, ITH. The first quarter for Michigan was not very good in the slightest. A lot of struggling for the Wolverines. And it was scoreless after the first quarter. No score between the two teams. And we got into the second quarter. Michigan went up 3-0. Indiana answered right back with a touchdown. And this was the first time, guys, that Michigan had trailed all day at the first half. Not a good first half from Michigan. They do end up in the game outgaining Indiana 284-255, but only 59 passing yards. And John O'Korn, I touched on him a little bit, but the consistency, the synergy with his receivers not there. The offense looked very, very sluggish. And to be honest, he looked uncomfortable. He looked terrified, really. I mean, he looked like a deer in headlights in the pocket. There's really no other way to say it. He would get a little bit of pressure. He would turn every which way, and he would do everything but look downfield. And I thought he was really just, he didn't trust his progressions. I thought he rushed throws a little bit too much. And there were times even when Indiana, the downfield pass rush wasn't very, there wasn't a lot of pressure there, and he still sort of panicked. And Michigan, even though they get the win, cannot afford to have quarterback play like this next week in Columbus. I think there's no doubt in anyone's mind that if John O'Korn duplicates this performance, and that's the way he's going to lead the Michigan offense going into Columbus next week, Michigan's going to come out of there with a loss, and all their hopes for the season will be dashed. Want to get your guys' impressions on John O'Korn. I mean, I think it was very apparent, but things you saw, things you noticed from John O'Korn in his first career start.
Well, I thought, as you just said, it was his first career start.
Wait, at Michigan.
Michigan, excuse me, yes.
Right, at Michigan. So, you know, I mean, it was a pretty bad throwing performance. I mean, overall, like you said, like there was a lot of inaccuracy, and just not maybe great decisions all the time. The bigger thing to me though about yesterday with O'Korn was that, you know, and during the off season we had heard about how he was going to be a running threat, about how, you know, he might not be, you know, a prototypical NFL passer, But he's got legs that he can actually, and he's got quickness where he can get downfield through some lanes and actually get, you know, some first downs, some nice yardage. And Indiana pretty much completely neutralized any running threat from him yesterday. I mean, I think he had one one running play where he actually got like 30 yards.
Yeah, the scramble in the third quarter where he broke that. Right. And, I mean, that was O'Korn's biggest offensive gain of the day.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't think he had any positive running yardage. I think that was it. There were a lot of times where he would run out to the edge, and Indiana, their defensive line or their linebackers would already be there. So they found a way to totally take that, you know, off the table, which was kind of concerning, but we got the win. So,
yeah, I look at John O'Korn as what pretty much a game manager. He was trying not to lose the game.
Jamie Morris's favorite term.
He was trying not to lose the game, and I believe he forgot that he should be able to pull it down and run with it. I think the game was going a little too fast for him at times, and because of that, he couldn't really slow it down. And because of that, yeah, I think for a while there, it don't seems like they're playing with an edge. They're not playing angry football. They're playing football. They're just like, all right, we're playing. All right, this is the next play. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I think the big turnover where it finally changed was with that O'Korn run, because he went 30 yards and got up, and you could see there was some kind of anger, kind of like, you know, violent that he was
almost,
you know,
like he'd been waiting for a play like this.
Right.
And I do feel like, Jay-Z, to your point, that even though Davion had those two runs in the third quarter, to
That was after the O'Korn run.
Yeah, yeah. Like, those were later. So, I mean, if you sort of look at this game and look at it in a nutshell, that O'Korn run, for everything that he didn't do in this game, that O'Korn run was the spark plug that got Michigan going.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that, yeah, he had that first one, then Davion took it the next two, and you know, they scored. And that was when Indiana just said, all right, maybe this is enough for us. And then the snow came down and said, I got you, bro, and took Indiana and closed the game out. Because there was, when you're down 10 with the clock going, you have to throw, and you couldn't do nothing with that snow. There was no catching the ball with that, no matter how much stick-em you had on your hands. You're not going to catch it. But, yeah, I think O'Korn was the one that finally said, this is our game, and we're going to take it over with that big run. Because he got up, kind of, you know, said, that, you know, roared a little bit. And then you saw Davion do what he needed to do and some great blocking downfield. And I think that's when they woke up. They said, oh, yeah, we're not just, you know, this isn't just a nice game. We're here to win this game. We're here to take over. And, yeah, that's when they finally did it.
Yeah, and on your point about, like, the kind of attitude, I'm really glad. I am very glad that this game was in the Big House and not in Bloomington, because, I mean, that it seemed kind of to carry over from the Iowa game. I mean, that's kind of what we saw in the Iowa game, where I think the crowd, you know, had an impact in keeping in the Iowa game, in sort of taking us out of the game, and just, you know, it was their really first, you know, hostile away crowd. But in this game, because I think it was in Ann Arbor, they still managed to get that in that last fourth quarter, really, to sort of get some energy and get some momentum.
And I've said to Miz before, we went to softball games, and you could tell when the crowd's taken out of it, and sometimes the players around them kind of get taken out of it too, kind of like, all right, they just like take a deep breath, and
like
when that
lull,
happens,
yeah,
and next thing you know, the other teams, you know, they wake up and they're ready to go, and then you're like, wait a minute, that's what happened in Iowa. It was 10-0, and the crowd was out of it. Next thing you know, 10-2, 10, you know, and the game's over and we lost. And this game could have went that way. I think there was chances that Indiana, yes, because it was in the Big House, the fans, the, you know, Victor's Corner, all those people, you know, they kept trying to do the best they can to say, wake up, this is a football game, play tough, you know, and finally they did. Finally something woke up. If it was John O'Korn or somebody in the huddle finally said, all right, let's get going. This isn't. No.
I mean, overall, the game as a whole too really was like the Iowa game. I mean, we had pretty good defense. The defense held them to, you know, 10 points, but the offense just couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, the downfield passing game was non-existent. And even though the offensive line, Tony, like, started to open up later in the game, and I think you saw specifically Kalis had a couple of good blocks. Bredesen, I thought, had a good game. The downfield blocking opened up and sort of de-thawed as the stadium was being thawed, but the passing game was non-existent, and John O'Korn, there's no other way around it, just had an awful debut as the Michigan quarterback. But we want to hear from you. We want to know what you think about this game. What really frustrated you the most about that first quarter and seeing Michigan trail for the first time all season 7-3? Let's head to the phones and talk to JJ in Lincoln Park. JJ, welcome to the playground.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Listen, I wasn't that frustrated with the first quarter, because Indiana had the wind in the first quarter. I was scared about the fourth quarter because Indiana would have the wind at the end of the game. I think O'Korn had a bad game because maybe he was inexperienced, but a lot had to do with the weather. I didn't see JT Barrett tearing it up a few miles up the road in Lansing yesterday. Nobody plays good in really bad weather. It's tough. It limits what you could do. I'll just say this. Since Jim Tressel came to town, we've been dominated by that team down south. And I have confidence right now with the play of our team and what James Joseph Harbaugh is doing that we might be able to go down to Columbus and win. And historically, since Jim Harbaugh has been on campus, the team with the better quarterback wins that game. Starting with him, you look at Elvis Gerbach, you look at, you know, Brian Greasy. Listen, when we had the better quarterback, we were pulling off the upset. Then they got Craig Krenzel. He started winning. Even though Chad Henne was a great quarterback, Troy Smith was just a little inch better than him as a college quarterback. And ever since that day, Ohio State's been dominating us with quarterback play in that game, and that's what wins that game. All right. So if we get good quarterback play, it's tough to win in Columbus because you have to make those line calls at the, you know, with your Mason Cole and your quarterback, change the play at the line of scrimmage. If we can get that done and get in some good plays, we can win. No turnovers, but I think the game might be decided on special teams. But this is the first time in a long time that I'm kind of confident in this team. So maybe what the hell do I know?
All right, JJ, thanks for the call and the splash.
I have
for
no
JJ.
Idea where he went with that. Was there a point and was there a question? I don't know.
He was taking a trip down memory lane from the Ohio State series.
Kind of went to sleep on that. Sorry, JJ.
Well, JJ, appreciate the call. And, yes, getting ready for Ohio State.
Was he just naming quarterbacks? I don't know what he was doing there.
We want to get you ready for Ohio State. It is Ohio State week, but we're wrapping up Indiana and Michigan's 20-10 win. Let's stay with the phones here and talk to Michael in Georgia. Michael, thanks for calling into the playground.
Well, first of all, I hope to God it don't come down to who's got the better quarterback next week. actually, I thought I was watching Nick Sheridan yesterday for a while. You know, he's had all week to practice. I thought for sure they'd have some plays in there for him that he would feel comfortable with. Obviously, he didn't look comfortable. It looked like he'd just come off the bench. And as far as the offensive line, the regression, do you think that possibly them taking on our front seven every day in practice is starting to wear them down and take a toll on them? I'll hang up.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Michael. And we appreciate the phone call. And I don't know. I mean, you bring up an interesting point. I think Michigan's playing against one of the better defensive lines in the nation. That certainly could take a toll on them. But I don't think necessarily that's the reason that Michigan has struggled to that capacity. The running games had their issues creating holes this year, but they have gotten off blocks in a lot of games. They have gotten a downfield push, whether they're pulling guards, making room for the running backs around the edge. They've really had trouble, I think, in inside power, running on the inside this year. That's really been what it is. And while the defensive line has challenged them certainly in practice, I don't think that's necessarily the reason. If anything, that should make the offensive line better. What do you guys think?
I just think that our offensive line has been an issue for as long as for quite a while, and it's gotten better since Harbaugh was here. At least in the standpoint of we don't struggle in every game. We struggle in like maybe a three or four of the games every year. So I think it's only going to get better as Harbaugh gets more of his players in.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the practice all week. They have scout team stuff, and I don't think that they're going that hard at each other during practice. This isn't the 80s. I don't think that has anything to do with it at all.
All right, well, we have one more. We'll take one more phone call, then head to our first break. Let's go to the phones and talk to Brian on a cell phone. Brian, welcome to the playground.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Just a few points. Number one, you've got a quarterback who has not started a game at Michigan. You've got some of the worst weather conditions that you could face for a quarterback coming into that situation. Then next, he wasn't calling the plays, Harbaugh was. And so what Harbaugh was doing was he wasn't going to let early mistakes beat him. He wanted to get this young man comfortable, and so he really called a very conservative game plan at the beginning, which which obviously, given the weather conditions and O'Korn's inexperience, he kind of just stumbled along. And remember what Bo always said. Your biggest improvement is between your first and second games. Well, he's played before, but this game coming up will be his second game as a starter. Obviously, he is not as in sync with his receivers, especially in terms of the timing and the routes they run, but Spite-wise, simply because Spite obviously is the better pro-style quarterback and has been doing it all year. But I wouldn't throw this guy. I do think I told my sons, I've been watching the game with them for over 20-some years, and I told them, I said, O'Korn is going to be the guy that's going to win this game. And in my opinion, he did win that game. That 30-yard run totally changed. That was the turning point in that game. And they were a different team after that. And he hit some passes after that and gained some confidence. So I don't anticipate seeing the same John O'Korn in Columbus, Ohio, that we saw yesterday. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Brian, we appreciate you calling in this morning. We're going to take a break right now, and on the other side of the break, we'll get to Ron in West Bloomfield and the rest of your calls. We'll move into the third quarter and talk about what changed for Michigan offensively. You're listening to The Playground on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket.